to turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1. I'd like to read verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We saw back in verses 1 and 2 that Christian life is a life of relationship with the Lord that is seen in the fact that we can hear Him, see Him, look upon Him, handle Him. And then in verse 3, we see Christian life is a life of fellowship with the Lord. And you'll notice in verse 3 it says, that which we have seen, which of course goes back to verse 1, talking about Christ. They had seen Christ and heard, which again goes back to Christ. So when he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, what he's declaring is Jesus Christ, because that's what he's referring to in verses 1 and 2. And then he goes on to say that there is a twofold fellowship. He says you can have fellowship with us, that is with the saints of God, and also, of course, the Lord. And there is such a thing as fellowship with God. And it's something that all of God's people should be very, very familiar with. It means, of course, that a great change has taken place, because before we were saved, we were without Christ, we were without God, and now we can have fellowship with Him, which of course implies a nearness to God. You cannot have fellowship without there being a nearness. So there is a nearness to God that every child of God can enjoy. Fellowship also includes receiving from God. So there is a receiving from God. We receive His grace, we receive His direction, we receive His guidance, His counsel, His consolation, His strength, and on you can go. But there are many, many things that we receive from God each day, and again, that's part of fellowship. And part of fellowship, of course, is giving unto God. Fellowship is two ways. There's a receiving, there is a giving, it is a sharing together. So you and I that are saved, we can live a life of sharing with the Lord. And we saw that last week. Fellowship with God also, of course, includes a knowledge of God, includes an experience of God. We're not talking about a one-time fellowship. We're talking about something that is continual. So it is a continual, ever-increasing knowledge of God. It is a continual and ever-increasing experience of God. It is experiencing the Lord every day. It's a shame that God's people who have been called into fellowship with God, and fellowship with God is possible, it is a shame that they do not experience God in their life. They can go back perhaps to a day, they can go back to a time when they experienced God in salvation, but since that time they've had very, very little experience with God. God is, we ought to experience God every day. We ought to walk with Him every day. And that's the life that we can live. But sad to say, of course, many who could live that life don't. Fellowship with God includes communion with God. Again, a sharing in the interest of God. It is a friendship with God. Notice in John chapter 15, John chapter 15 and verse 14. John 15, verse 14. Jesus is doing the speaking. He says, "Ye are my friends." And what a statement that is. "Ye are my friends." You know, every friend that the Lord has was once an enemy. No one is born a friend of God. So a miracle has taken place in the lives of the friends of God. But he says, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. That is, that friendship is shown, that friendship is displayed by obedience. In the book of James, chapter 2, the book of James, chapter 2, and we'll read verse 23. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. And again, you cannot have fellowship with God without believing God. And it was imputed unto him, that is, his faith in God, was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. And he was called the friend of God. You and I have the opportunity of friendship with God. But again, friendship must be mutual. If we are the friends of God, that also means that God is our friend. Friendship is never one-sided. If it is, it's not going to last. Friendship must be mutual. But friendship also speaks of identification with someone. When someone is your friend, you identify with that individual. And it's the same with the Lord. If we are friends with the Lord, then we identify with God. And if God is a friend to us, it means that he identifies with us, which of course is a great mystery and requires the grace of the Lord. But friendship speaks of identification. Every day we have the opportunity to be identified with the Lord. And again, friendship, we should not be ashamed of our friends. Friendship does away with shame. And if we're friends of God, that means we're not ashamed of the Lord. You have no reason. You have absolutely no reason to be ashamed of the Lord. He has every reason to be ashamed of us, but we have no reason to be ashamed. We have no reason to be embarrassed by God. And we should not hesitate to let anyone know that God is our friend and that we are friends with God, and that we do not hesitate to identify with the Lord. We do not hesitate to identify with the cause of God. In fact, we're glad to be seen with the Lord. So fellowship includes a friendship with the Lord. Now, friendship is based upon agreement. You cannot possibly be a friend with someone that you are always in disagreement with. Friendship must have agreement. And friendship must have delight also. It's you delight in one another. So if God is our friend, it means he delights in us, we delight in him. But it also means that there is an agreement. There is a common ground. Notice in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, there are a lot of folks today that would have you to believe that though they live a very sinful lifestyle on a continuous basis, that they have fellowship with God every day, but that's not so, because there has to be an agreement with God. In verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. See, any yoke with unbelievers is unequal. That is, it's not based upon agreement. He goes on, he says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? He presents several opposites here. Righteousness, unrighteousness. There is no fellowship between that which is right and that which is wrong. There is no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness. None. They are complete opposites. And there is no fellowship. So again, if we're in fellowship with God, we have to live lives of righteousness. He goes on, he says, and what communion hath light with darkness? Again, opposites. There's no fellowship between light and darkness. He goes on, he says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? There's no fellowship between Christ and Satan. None whatsoever. There's no agreement between the two. And you cannot adopt the devil's program. You cannot adopt the devil's agenda and be in fellowship with God. It's not possible. So, and many today are trying to convince us, though, that they have adopted the devil's program and have adopted the devil's lifestyle, that they're in fellowship with God, but they're not. It's not possible. Christ and Baal have no fellowship. And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And he goes on and talks about how that we are the people of God. But the point is that if we're going to have fellowship with God, there has to be agreement. There has to be agreement. If we're going to have fellowship with people, there is something that we must fellowship around. We must agree to what we are fellowshipping around. That's why you cannot fellowship with people who are in error, because unless you fellowship around error, you have to have an agreement. So you can't just have fellowship with anybody. There has to be an agreement, and that's true with our fellowship with God. Then notice in Genesis chapter 5, we see, of course, that a continual fellowship with God involves a consistent walking with the Lord. And a good example of a consistent walk with God, of course, is Enoch. And we see in verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. And here's the consistency, 300 years. For 300 years, Enoch walked with God, day in and day out. That is fellowship with the Lord. For 300 years. You'll notice also it says that during this 300 years, he begat sons and daughters. That is, in spite of family problems, in spite of family responsibilities, Enoch still walked with God all those days. And then we see in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, or translated him, literally took him to heaven. But if you spiritualize that, it simply means that Enoch lived above the world. And the reason that Enoch was able to live above the world was because he had fellowship with God, because he walked with God. You do not walk alone. You either walk with God or you walk with the world. None of us walk alone. So we're either in fellowship with God or we are in fellowship with the world. There again, there is no neutral ground. There is no halfway house here. It's one or the other. And we see here that Enoch walked with God, that is, he was, and by so doing, he was able to live above the world's ways. If you have if you live above the world's ways, you're able to have fellowship with God. And if you have fellowship with God, you're able to live above the world's ways. You're able to live above the thinking of the world. You're able to live above the philosophies of the world, the pursuits of the world, the lusts of the world, and the world's pleasures. You're able to live above all that because you walk with God. So there is a great blessing in walking with God. And that's what fellowship with God is. It's walking with the Lord. Now, fellowship with God, of course, must be maintained. If we're going to have continual fellowship with God, we have to maintain that fellowship, which simply means that sin must be dealt with. Again, in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, we see that God's ear is not heavy, his arm is not short, but our iniquities have come between us and God. Sin will break fellowship with the Lord. It always does. Sin, to one degree or another, will break fellowship with God. It'll cause a hindrance in our fellowship with the Lord. We see the same thing in Isaiah 64 and verse 7. Fellowship with God was broken. because of sin. We see the same thing in the book of Hosea, chapter 5. So we cannot live in sin and have fellowship with God. And now we all sin. We sin every single day. So in order to maintain fellowship with God, we have to deal with that sin. And if we fail to deal with that sin, fellowship is going to be broken. So we have to deal with sin. And notice in 1 John again, if we go there, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 and verse 6. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, and again you can say anything, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So walking in darkness breaks fellowship with God. So he goes on, he says in verse 7, but if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, that is, as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then notice what it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So you see, fellowship with God doesn't mean that we never sin, but as long as we are in fellowship with God, we will deal with our sin. That is, we will go to the Lord. And this is explained in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, and if we are continually living in sin, and we deny sin and fail to deal with sin, again, fellowship is broken. So if we say that we have no sin, and again, there's several ways of saying that. You can just come out and say, I have not sinned. There aren't too many people who are foolish enough to believe that they can go a day without sinning. But another way that we deny we have sinned is when we fail to deal with it. So if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And that's what fellowship is around, is truth. But if the truth is not in us, we cannot have fellowship with God. If we confess our sins, which is the opposite of if we have no sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And that's what verse 7 is talking about. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So as we're in fellowship with God and we sin, then we must confess that sin. And as we confess that sin, God is faithful. God is faithful. The forgiveness of my sin depends upon the faithfulness of God. So he is faithful, he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, since unrighteousness and righteousness can have no communion, once he cleanses me from unrighteousness, I can now continue to have fellowship with God. So you see, if we're going to maintain fellowship with God, we have to deal with our sin. We have to do something with it every single day. He goes on, he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And if his word is not in you, you cannot fellowship with him. You cannot separate the word of God from God. You cannot separate the word from Christ. That is why Christ is called the Word in John chapter 1 and verse 1. So we see that if the word is not in us, then fellowship is marred. And what prevents the word from being in us? Again, it's that sin. It's that failure to deal with sin. And then in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, my little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. That's what we ought to strive for, that we do not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. Jesus Christ, the righteous. So there is a fellowship with God. And that is the privilege that you and I have every single day. But there is also a fellowship that we can have with one another. And again, if our fellowship is going to be spiritual, And this is what 1 John 1:3 is talking about. It's talking about spiritual fellowship. If it's going to be spiritual, the people we have to be in fellowship with God. The people we are fellowshipping with are in fellowship with God. And such a fellowship is sweet. And so there is a fellowship that we have with the people of God, which again means that a great change has taken place. Because we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, that before salvation, we walked according to the course or the way of this world. And he goes on and he says, and our conversation was among who? The children of disobedience. Before we were saved, we fellowshipped with the children of disobedience. Why? Because there was agreement. We were in agreement with them. Before salvation, I wasn't in fellowship with God's people. I was in fellowship with the children of disobedience because that's who I had the most in common with. And he goes on, he says, we were aliens. That is, we were unfamiliar and incompatible with the commonwealth of Israel. There in Ephesians 2 and verse 12. We were incompatible with the people, the commonwealth. With the commonwealth of Israel. But a change has taken place in the saved individual, and there has been a change of fellowship. Those who profess to be saved and all they want to do is hang around the lost, you have every reason to doubt your salvation. You have every reason. If you can find enjoyment, and you can find pleasure with being with lost sinners, you have every reason to question, and you ought to question your salvation. Because Ephesians 2 teaches us very plainly that there has been a change in fellowship. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That is, be imitators of God. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather, that is, in the place of filthiness, in the place of foolish talking, in the place of jesting, rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. The kingdom of Christ, that talks about, not talking here about heaven, we're talking about the kingdom. We're talking about the rule of the Lord. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, vain words goes back to filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. Goes back to all those things, goes back to the whoremonger and the unclean person and the covetous man, which is an idolater. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That's who we had our fellowship with in Ephesians chapter 2, the children of disobedience. Be not ye ye, which again, there's a change here. We're not dealing with the children of disobedience. We're dealing with the saved. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. With who? The children of disobedience. Be not partakers with them. That is, we're not to fellowship with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now a change has taken place. But now our light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Ye have been delivered from darkness. Ye have been put in light. Now act like it. That's what he's saying. Now walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship. Doesn't say have as little as possible. That's not what it says. It says have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But what is our responsibility? Reprove them. Reprove them. Now, again, we've run out of time, but we have more in common with brothers and sisters in Christ than we do brothers and sisters in the flesh that have not been saved. I have no desire, none, and it's been that way ever since the Lord saved me. I have no desire. I don't care if it's my brother, my sister, my mother or my father, or any aunts or uncles, to be around folks that are going to drink and curse. I have no desire to be around them. None. I'd much rather be in the house of God. I'd much rather be around God's people. And if I am around family members and they begin to curse and to jest, what is my responsibility? To reprove them. And you know what I've learned? If you do that on a consistent basis, pretty soon you'll stop getting invited to family gatherings. They won't even invite you. They don't want to be around you either. I take that as a compliment. That the ungodly do not want anything to do with me. That's fine. I don't want anything to do with them either. That's perfectly fine. We're not talking about disliking them. We're not talking about hating them. We would not harm them. We would help them every chance that we have. We would tell them of the Lord every chance we have. But that's not where our fellowship is. Regardless whether it's flesh and blood, has absolutely nothing to do with it. Nothing. So there has been a change in fellowship. And we'll look at that more next week, our fellowship with one another. And I thank God that I can live a life of fellowship with God. And I thank God that God has given me a people that I can go through this life and have fellowship with them. And to me, that's precious. God doesn't leave us alone. We have fellowship with Him, and God has provided a people that we can have fellowship with as well. Let's look to the Lord, a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you, Lord.